This morning's lesson is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Just like little children have a tendency to like to put their backs next to each other to measure themselves against one another, so it is in the spiritual realm often that we like to kind of compare ourselves, just as we see the Pharisees in our text, compare ourselves to other people, and we especially like to stand up next to those and put our back next to those in the spiritual realm regarding our morality with those that we think we're going to probably be taller than and come out ahead. Ironically, the Pharisees in our text are the very ones that, though they consider themselves to be of such great spiritual health, our Lord Jesus quickly shows that they are the least healthy of the group. But oftentimes it is that Jesus sets it up in the gospel readings and in these various accounts that we have, like the one just read today, that those who are the most religious, those who have the Word of God around them the most frequently, have the greatest tendency and temptation to try to measure ourselves up against others, because our sinful pride likes to see how well we come out ahead of others. God, I thank you that I am not like many of the other people out there in the world who live such lives of sin. The devil likes to tempt me as a child of God, who by his grace has come to have a desire now to follow his will. He likes to tempt me with thoughts like this: "Don, you're doing pretty well. Look at you. You are pretty spiritually healthy. Man, if there were just other people out there like you, compared to others, talk about healthy. My goodness." And this is why Christians in this life have an ongoing need for the hearing of the law of God, to keep us continually recognizing our sin. I remember I had a member came to me after church one Sunday, and he said, "You know, you keep telling me that I'm forgiven and that because of what Christ has done, I'm holy and righteous before God. And yet, every Sunday you remind me of my guilt too. Why do you keep doing that?" Well, the reason is this: only those who feel and have the true sense of their lack of spiritual health, only those who understand their sin, will keep a need for the Savior and for the remedy of His grace, and will cherish His grace. I have a brother-in-law who years ago was diagnosed in his adulthood, young adulthood, was diagnosed with diabetes, which was a very difficult diagnosis for him to hear, as you can imagine. But the doctor told him, "Ironically, this may extend your life to know that you have diabetes. And the reason is because you're going to be more careful now about your health than you maybe would have been before." And so far, that's definitely been the case in his life. True spiritual health is achieved by having a daily awareness of our lack of spiritual health on our own, of knowing how unhealthy spiritually we truly are, so that we stay in the care of the great divine physician, our Lord Jesus, and His grace. There's a gentleman that is a doctor that served a congregation where I served years ago, and during the time that I was serving that church, there were a few instances when somebody would suddenly faint or have a health spell right in the middle of this church service, and he would be the first one to get up and rush to their side. That mission of being a doctor in his heart just propelled him to their side to go and take care of them. And so it is with our Lord Jesus. When it comes to dealing with people who recognize their sin and their guilt and the fact that they're going to die and face eternity, and they're aware of that sinfulness in their hearts, These are the ones that our Lord, when he notices them in that condition, just can't wait to rush to their side, to get up and grab his bag and run to take care of them. This is what his mission and purpose is all about. And that's what we still have before us, even though our Lord has left the earth with his local mode of presence. He has left behind for us the ministry of his grace with the same fervency, with the same urgency to take care of sinful people like us. And so here in the Word of God and around his means of grace, here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus, sinners, doth receive. Amen. Let us rise for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning to all of you, and especially to those who are gathered here today for the Bethany Auxiliary. We certainly want to welcome you to our campus, and thank you also for the wonderful support that you show our college. And many of you students here may not be aware of it, but many of the people that have joined us in worship today help this campus in a variety of ways. In their own ways, they help keep tuition down a little bit. And a lot of the amenities and things that we have on campus, they're often there to help and assist and support us with things that maybe otherwise the college would not have. And in addition to that, one of the things that I always appreciate about the auxiliary is that just the heart and love that they have for Bethany and for this institution. Many of you who are here today may be yourself graduates from here and have some deep family roots here too. And that's one of the wonderful things that we see demonstrated here generation after generation. So before we leave today, I would like those of us in the faculty and student body and staff to give our appreciation to the auxiliary.